And guys, if we can start with a little skit for this one, opening with the sound of a vent alarming. There's a doctor who comes in. Damn, this thing is alarming again. Why do you keep alarming? Something along those lines. All right. I know how to do this.
Where is that damn button?
Ah, the silence button.
The silencer.
Hits the silence button.
Click.
Alarm stops at that point. All right, that should buy me about 2 minutes.
Hey, I need a vet consult.
Did somebody call for a vet, veterinary consult?
No, not a vet consult. A vent consult. Fucking asshole.
Oh, you're the nasty doctor.
Yeah, just get out.
Whatever.
For an actual vent consult, we're going to have to turn to Swami and Haney Malamet.
I'm sure you guys will come up with a better skit.
It does not look likely.
I know you're going to make fun of me. It's fine.
Yeah.
Many of us have nightmares about vents alarming. We've sat through terrible lectures about vents and still know little about how to manage them. Back in October 2015, we sat down with Haney Malamet for a two-part crash course in vents. That was a long time ago. The principles aren't much different, but there's a lot of nuance that goes into it. So go back to that show, listen to that series of podcasts on beginning vent management, and then we're going to bring Haney back in now to talk about some of those little nuances, a little bit more about vents and how to manage them. Haney, welcome back to MRAT.
No, thanks for having me here, Swami.
I've been following this short video series that you've been doing called Crit Bits, and one of the topics that you covered was on PEEP and auto-PEEP. I thought that'd be a good one for us to talk about. We hear these terms thrown around a lot, but I'm not sure that we actually understand what they are. So let's start really basic. What is PEEP?
What is PEEP?
PEEP is positive end expiratory pressure, and this is something that you set on the ventilator to help keep the alveoli and the distal airways open. The reason why we use PEEP is that we want to get somebody's oxygenation better. There's two ways to improve oxygenation: crank up the FiO2 or open up their alveoli for people that have things like pneumonia and pulmonary edema and allow better oxygenation. So that's why we do PEEP. But when you deep dive it, there's two different types of PEEP. There's the PEEP that we do to patients, or the extrinsic PEEP, and then there's the intrinsic PEEP, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, with regards to what causes auto PEEP and dynamic hyperinflation, those things that just make those patients sick.
Haney, are intrinsic PEEP and auto PEEP, are these interchangeable terms, or is there some difference between the two that we have to think about?
Intrinsic PEEP is the PEEP that is generated by the patient and the ventilator. So that's intrinsic to the alveoli. And auto PEEP is the phenomenon of when you're generating that intrinsic PEEP. So they're sort of the same thing and interchangeable.
In what conditions is auto-PEEP generated, and how exactly is that happening?
We can take a look at two different patient populations, those who are not intubated and those that are. Now, people who are not intubated, those are the people that we see coming in respiratory distress, and the classic ones that we see are the patients with COPD or asthma. Those people are not having enough time to get all their breath out at the end of expiration. What happens is that builds up a positive pressure in the alveoli and the chest. And for people who are not ventilated, that's where they get auto-PEEP. But in patients who are intubated, those same populations of people can generate auto-PEEP on the ventilator, but there's also other people that can generate auto-PEEP. So for example, if you have a patient who you intubated and the paralysis wears off and you didn't provide enough analgesia or sedation, that person is going to be anxious. They're having pain. They become tachypneic because they're anxious. And just by that sheer tachypnea, that could lead to auto-PEEPing, even though they may not have COPD or asthma. And then other times we can do it to the patient. If we have a patient who has a metabolic acidosis, let's say, and we want to come over and compensate by increasing the respiratory rate or increasing the tidal volume so they blow off more CO2, well, the problem with that is that you could generate auto-PEEP in these patients by trying to fix their other metabolic problem.
Why is auto-PEEP dangerous?
All right, so we talked a little bit about what auto-PEEP is, what PEEP is, but why is it so dangerous? Why are we afraid of generating that PEEP within the patient?
There's three problems that happen with auto-PEEP, and we'll kind of shift over to the mechanically ventilated patient here just for this example.
One,
the first problem, it's just a problem of the pulmonary system. So when you have a patient whose lungs are progressively getting more and more inflated, this is causing injury and overstretch to the lung. These days, we're trying to target people's tidal volumes 6 to 8 cc's per kg per breath. But if you have a person who's auto-PEEPing, their lungs are getting progressively larger and stretching, And so we're violating that principle of overstretch. And what you'll notice is that you can have elevations in your peak and your plateau pressures. This may or may not be something that you observe in the ED, but certainly when they go upstairs to the ICU, we see the damage that happens to the lungs days to weeks later.
Two.
The second problem that you can see with AutoPEEP is it's a hemodynamic problem. And this is something you will definitely see for your patients in the ED. As that person is having more and more inflation of that lung, this is creating a situation where there's increasing positive pressure within that thorax. And this elevated intrathoracic pressure decreases venous return, decreases filling to the LV, decreases cardiac output, causes decreased systemic pressure, and then ultimately the patient can die from this. It's very dramatic, but this is something that you can actually see while you're managing people in the ED.
Three.
Third problem that you may encounter, and you might not even see this in the emergency department because we have our patients so deeply sedated and sometimes paralyzed, is that when you have patients who have severe AutoPEEP, they may not be able to trigger a breath on the ventilator. And so you'll have to do a little exercise with me to illustrate this. As you sit here listening to the podcast, you take a breath in and your diaphragm is able to flatten out and take a breath in. That's just normally how we breathe. But the person who has hyperinflation, their diaphragms are already flat and they have to generate a lot more force in order to trigger that breath from happening. So the ventilator doesn't give them that breath until they generate a lot of force. And in most times, because their diaphragms are already so flat, they're not able to generate that breath.
Haney, in the spontaneously breathing patient, what can we do to reduce the AutoPEEP and reduce the increase in intrathoracic pressure?
Those people that come in who are not intubated, they need to take a chill pill. Because what happens is when people who come in with asthma, let's say, those patients feel like they are going to die. And as you'd imagine, that would make you just a little bit anxious. That anxiety produces tachypnea. And tachypnea means that they have less time in expiration. And what these patients really need is more time in expiration. So it sounds counterintuitive, but what you want to do is actually decrease their respiratory rate just a little bit so they're not causing air trapping. And there's a variety of ways you can do this. And, you know, we have all the meds in the world to make this happen. Now, the drug that I like to use is ketamine.
Ketamine
is great for so many reasons. The first reason is that it causes bronchodilation. And for that patient who has asthma, that's going to work in my favor. But the second thing is it causes them to chill out. Now, I don't use dissociative doses, although you can. I initiate starting off with like a 0.3 milligrams per kilogram to a 0.5. And if they need more, I'll layer it on from there. But taking away that little bit of anxiety, slowing down their respiratory rate gives them more time for expiration. I know some people, they'll use fentanyl and they'll use benzodiazepines, and those are kind of meh. I really go with ketamine when I have it available.
Prevention.
Knowing all of these dangers of AutoPEEP, is there anything we can do to prevent it from accumulating? And I'm specifically talking about the mechanically ventilated patient.
So I know people's eyes are going to roll when they hear this, but there are some waveforms that you just got to know if you're managing these mechanically ventilated patients down in the ED. It's sort of a vital sign for your patients who have asthma or COPD. And this is the flow waveform. Now the flow waveform, it's a very simple one. It's a horizontal line, and every deflection or every rise above that baseline is going to be a breath towards the patient. It's going to be an inspiratory breath. And everything below the baseline is going to be going from the patient back to the ventilator or expiration. Now, what you have to look for, and do this on your next shift, is notice that during expiration, that expiratory waveform will actually come back to baseline and in many times be zero flow for, you know, a couple microseconds until the next breath. However, the person who is developing AutoPEEP will have that expiratory waveform not come back to the baseline, but have a next breath initiated. And there's a little bit of a gap or space between that expiratory waveform and the baseline. Identifying this is vitally important because this puts your patient at risk for developing AutoPEEP. And if this goes on for a while, you're going to run into these problems that we talked about before.
So Haney, now that I've identified the AutoPEEP, now that I know that it's a bad thing and I want to get rid of it, how do I actually address the mechanically ventilated patient who's developing the AutoPEEP?
First thing, and I know this sounds very obvious, is that you want to be sure that you're fixing the underlying problem. Now, using the asthmatic as our example here, you want to make sure that after intubation and mechanical ventilation, that the respiratory therapist has hooked up the continuous nebulization in there. You want to make sure that the person is still getting their ketamine if they're getting ketamine for. But you want to fix the underlying problem. That's the first thing. So assuming that that is done, there are some things that you can do to that ventilator to decrease the rate and risk of auto-PEEP. The first thing and the simplest thing is just to decrease that respiratory rate. By decreasing the respiratory rate, you're allowing more time in expiration. More time in expiration means that expiratory flow waveform has a better chance of getting back to that baseline. And this is the one thing that you can do that gives you the biggest bang for your buck. The next thing you can do is you can increase the inspiratory flow rates. Now, this is really for volume ventilation, but essentially what you're going to do is you're going to take that flow that the person has on their ventilator at baseline, and rather than going at, let's say, 60 liters per minute, you're going to go up to 80 liters per minute. And this is still going to deliver the same tidal volume that you want for your patient, but it's going to go in much, much faster. And if you decrease your inspiratory time at a given respiratory rate, by default, you're going to give a little bit more expiratory time. And the last thing that you can do is you can decrease the tidal volume that you're giving your patient. So if you start giving them 8 cc's per kg and you notice that this is still happening, go down to 7, go down to 6. Sometimes you might even have to go down to 5. But do whatever it takes to make sure that you decrease this person from auto-PEEPing, because believe me, this is a problem that's going to add up over time and is going to lead to some pretty severe problems.
Summary.
All right, Henny, that's a nice crash course in auto-PEEPing. I like how you started with why it's so bad that you can get hemodynamic compromise, injury to the alveoli from the overinflation that occurs. And of course, if that overinflation, you can actually create a pneumothorax, tension pneumothorax, which is also pretty bad for the patient. We have to identify when this is happening. We're going to look at those waveforms, make sure that the patient during expiration is getting back to that baseline. If they're not, that means they're starting to generate that auto-PEEP, and then we have to step in and try and relieve it. In the mechanically ventilated patient, there are a couple of steps that we can do that you just reviewed. So we can slow their respiratory rate down. We can even decrease their tidal volume so they're not breath stacking and breath stacking and breath stacking. And in the awake patient, the asthmatic or the COPD patient who's very tachypneic, in those patients who are breath stacking and creating that problem, we can give them something to smooth things out, to reduce that respiratory rate a little bit so they don't get as much breath stacking. And for this, you recommend using ketamine as your first choice, that 0.3 to 0.5 mg per kg range, where you're not going to make them stop breathing, but you are going to just smooth things out, chill them out a little bit so they're not having that high respiratory rate. And if necessary, that dose can be increased. You don't have to stop at the 0.5 mg per kg range. And I think, again, understanding some of these basic concepts allows us not just to manage the vent well, but also manage the patient well before they get intubated and perhaps stave off that intubation altogether. And if nothing else, Haney, it makes us look a little bit smarter in front of our ICU docs when we talk about how we've managed the vent to that point, what we were looking out for, what we were worried about. Haney, thanks for reviewing auto-PEEP with us. Can't wait to get you back on for other Crit Bits.
Swami, thank you so much for having me on. This is a problem that you can detect very early in the ED, and I really encourage people to take a look at that flow waveform the next time they're on their shift, and your respiratory therapist will gladly point it out to you. But I guarantee you, once you start looking for that expiratory waveform not coming back to baseline, you're going to identify a lot more people sooner and be able to make adjustments to your ventilator before your patients get into trouble. So thank you so much for having me on today. It's really been a pleasure.
What is PEEP? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more.
Damn, this thing is alarming again? This is so alarming. Where is that damn button? Oh, there it is. Ah-ha-ha. All right, this should buy me about two...